Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast in the pro wrestling form. This will be a little bit of a disjointed thing because I'm going to talk a little Dynamite here with Justin, and Jared will be sliding in a little bit later, and we may go back through some of this. Justin has not been able to be here for a couple of these AEW things, and he has thoughts. You enjoyed this episode. We'll start from there.
Oh, I did. I thought just about every segment advanced the storyline. There was a bunch of ones that advanced multiple storylines. There wasn't a lot of wasted, fluffy stuff that I hated or anything like that. If there was some stuff that was off kilter a little bit, it was fun. I thought they did such a good job keeping everything moving, you know, from segment to segment. There wasn't a lot of, you know, junk time. Right. Everything had something to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we start with Kenny Omega and Paige versus Dustin and QT Marshall.
What a start right there.
It was a good match. It was really good. Now, Dustin is... I'm starting to wonder if he's not the best wrestler in the company.
He's so good right now.
And it's crazy because I know... And he has incorporated some of the younger things. You know what I mean? With the...
Canadian Destroyer.
Conradas.
Yeah, and the Conrada.
Yeah, for a guy that's... What is he, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's
big. That's pretty tough for him to do that.
Yeah.
You are not noticing the fact that he is mid-50s?
Yeah. DDP Yoga is the true fountain of youth.
It's good, man. It's really been well done there. I thought this was a good match, and you had to...
Do you think he got hurt, though, in this match? Like, that knee to the head that he hit where Kenny Omega's knee caught him right in the head?
He may have got dinged up. He might have got dinged up.
Because I don't know if you think the whole point was QT Marshall going to spend that much time in the ring for this match?
I don't. Well, the girlfriend came out.
Yeah.
So maybe that was...
Maybe it was, but it was well... If it was, it was well done, because I thought Cody looked... I mean, not Cody. Dustin actually kind of looked injured.
Yeah.
Can I ask this question?
Yes.
Why did the camera pan over to Britt Baker every now and then in a men's tag team match?
Why are we telling the story of Britt Baker?
During a men's tag team match.
Well, she was sending notes. Did she start sending notes during this match? She had some great notes.
Oh, yeah. She's the most important thing on the show. By far.
I like Britt Baker sitting over there making snide comments.
I could not stand the fact that I'm watching a match this good and we're messing around.
But they weren't really. They were just reading off comments that were supposedly from Britt Baker that were actually stuff that they thought would be funny to say, probably.
Instead of watching four guys wrestle.
Brandy was out there.
She wasn't wrestling, though.
No, she was just there.
They didn't pan to Brandy.
They did, too.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
Yes, they
did. And then they panned to Brandy and Allie. And Brandy and Allie having a cheer off.
They're basically actually in this program.
Why?
Okay, to your point. To your point. They're in this program. We're taking up time with them.
Yes.
And we're also taking a camera off the ring entirely and putting it on something that has nothing to do with this program.
For a split second, well, they were probably weren't even doing very much. It's not like they lost.
You don't know, though, do you, if they were doing very much?
So we missed the greatest move ever in the history of wrestling because Britt Baker was on the screen.
I'm just saying, I don't understand why Britt Baker is constantly on the television when she's hurt.
Because they're trying to keep her a job and be nice to her. I don't know.
Is there somebody else that could get television time?
Oh, I'm sure.
In the company? No. Okay. All right, Anna Joy, speaking of somebody else that's going to get television time, and Abaddon.
Well, I love this segment because it was a swerve. The whole segment was a swerve.
Correct.
They pushed this
great
Anna Joy girl, who I'd never heard of, but I was excited to see. She came out in like the Zatanna, you know, absolutely, magician's outfit. I'm the show. I'm the next big thing. I'm all the hype. And then Abaddon hits the entrance, and JR is at the top of his game at sometimes, because he was selling her like, you know, ice cream in the summertime. I mean, look at this girl. What is this? I have no idea what's going on here. She's you know, terrifying. You know, he's like, Excalibur was saying something right when she came out. He's like, wait a minute, I don't want to interrupt you, but we got to talk about this coming down the ring right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes out there and you get the squash pretty much. And she just destroys that girl.
Which sets up
the next little thing that was well done again. It links perfectly. Dark Order.
Brody Lee comes out and gives Anna Joy. Gives her a chance to redeem herself by joining.
Or at least offers to help. Oh, we see that you're having a bad time of it. Let us help you here. And also had Evil Uno and Stu Grayson go down there and give Colt Cabana a contract that apparently Brody Lee already signed, where it was him and Colt Cabana tag team against. Who were they tag teaming against? I don't remember. I don't remember yet, but we'll figure it out. But yeah. I was, and so it all served purposes. Right. That was not fluff. There was an advancing story, two storylines. You got Brody Lee and Colt Cabana, and look, Dark Order's going to go for some women's division.
And Abaddon wins a squash.
And Abaddon appears, and she was
great.
You talk about somebody that draws your eyes.
Yeah.
And the freaky stuff is the aesthetic is really good, but her movements. To sell it.
She's telling the story of who she is by the way she moves. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Now then we get Billy Gunn versus MJF. And what did you think about this?
I thought this was really good match. MJF is the best heel probably. The younger heels. You know, I don't know anybody that's better on the stick than him. He's not the best guy in the match part yet, but this match really played to his strengths. I love the Billy no-selling him at the beginning and then him finding a way to put a chink in the armor. Because it puts over... Billy Gunn is one of the greats and is really phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how big he is until he stands up and Wardlow's, like, you know,
yeah,
shorter than him.
Right. Dude, Billy Gunn is a...
And the way that they did the whole... Wardlow takes the bump while throwing the ring to MJF. MJF catches the ring, slides it into his, slides it on his finger, hits him, hits Billy Gunn with it, puts it back. It was so perfectly done. And then that creates the outside conflict between MJF and Jurassic Express. And you get Wardlow and Luchasaurus finally getting hands on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole Donnybrook out there on the, and again, it was just well done. I had a good time with it.
All right. TNT Championship match, Cody versus Ricky Starks. We're introducing a new player into thing. First of all, they had a little promo thing with Arn and Cody.
Yeah, where he's hinting at the Elite, some sort of like, nobody was out here to help me. Yeah, Cody, like you helped your brother against Lance Archer, I'm sure.
Am I even a part of the Elite?
No, anymore? No, you never were. I'm sorry to tell you this, Cody.
You're never one of their friends.
Well, you're never elite.
Okay, so Ricky Starks comes out.
Oh, I love Ricky Starks, too. I was excited. I'd avoided spoilers, so I was actually surprised when he came out. And yeah. I was like, yes, this is going to be great.
Right. And he looked good.
He looked real good.
Cody did what he's been doing in all his matches. He outlasted him a little bit and got the W. It will be kind of difficult for Cody to beat Hager after all of these matches with young talent that have gone so long.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's pro wrestling, so you can
do whatever you want.
Figure something out.
Yeah.
Pull it off. Because I don't think you take the belt off Cody right now, because I do think you're doing a very good job of reintroducing talent that's on your roster, introducing tag team talent as solo wrestlers, and introducing a brand new talent.
Mm-hmm.
On what for them is a big stage, wrestling Cody in a
minute. And Cody gets to bury him, so great. Great for Cody.
Cody gets to bury them.
But
I'm kidding.
Okay,
no.
I want him to come out next week. And I want Ricky Starks to say, I purposefully didn't win because that title is not finished.
Yeah, it got out there and I saw how ugly the belt was and I decided to take the L.
If you noticed, I came out here in red and gold.
Yeah.
And when I saw, because Ricky Starks worries about fashion.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And when I saw red and gray?
I don't know. Aluminum, maybe?
Red and aluminum. I thought, that does not match my outfit at all.
I think it's like 10.
I'm not doing that to something that looks this good.
No.
That's where I think we go with that. Okay, Matt and Nick versus Super Bad Squad of Kip and Havoc and Butcher Blade and TFR.
TFR?
Who's TFR?
What is their thing?
FTL?
FTR.
FTR?
FTR. TFR.
Uh-huh.
It's way better than FTR.
FDR?
Forever the...
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
The Forever Revival.
Whatever.
There, it's forever... No, it's Follow the Rules.
Yeah.
Follow the Rules was the name of these guys. And we get... But they're outside anyway. And what did you think about all of this?
It was a good match, man. You had some really good guys. I mean, Matt and... I mean, Young Bucks looking great. I thought they put over Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian really well as far as that kind of stuff goes. Because, you know, you didn't... I love Jimmy Havoc. I love him teaming with Kip Sabian. I did not think I would like this when it first started, but he is really... I think Havoc's really upped his game since he really got to be more main roster on...
He's wrestling more,
and it looks really good. And I love the little segments where he would grab something. Did you see, like, the ref patted him down and he found a pair of pliers? That's the first time I've ever seen the ref find something on the pat down. I might have seen it before, but it's been so long ago, I don't remember. But he found a pair of pliers, and then
I don't think so.
And then he came out with a mallet, and the ref had to tell him he couldn't use that.
Jimmy Havoc was the one with the pliers, right?
Yes.
So he probably might have done that at an indie show before.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, but I've just never seen it before.
Yeah, I don't think he's done it on television.
Yeah, it's just such a neat little spot. I enjoyed it. I thought it set his character up. He was fun.
So the Bucks wind up going over, and then we have the Butcher and Blade attack, and we have Follow the Rules come to their defense, and then we have a bit of Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better in the ring with the Bucks and Follow the Rules, and kind of showcasing both their similarities and their differences.
Yeah. Right?
I thought that was well done.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in here, we get more Britt Baker, and she is absconded by Big Swole.
You were rooting for Big Swole in this moment. You were hoping it was over with, that your long nightmare
had ended. If rooting for Big Swole is wish she wasn't in this segment at all and would have liked to have seen her wrestling in a match, that would have been.
We're talking about the one where she referenced the so long, Teddy.
She...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they... For this reference, they should have gone all out and pre-recorded it. So long, Baker.
Yeah. You know,
how's the ride? Is that what he said?
I can't remember. I just remember him screaming.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing. Teddy's selling it.
Yeah, but Swole, I guess, she's going to be staying into some form of a programming. We are giving her a chance to showcase her personality.
Mm-hmm.
She takes Britt away and then dumps Britt into a dumpster, and then we come back to Britt again later on. In the dumpster, and there's hilarity ensues with her assistant.
Yeah.
Hilarity ensues.
So you watched all that? You loved it?
I didn't love it, technically, but it happened, and it didn't bug me too much.
Okay. Best Friends versus Les Sex Gods.
Oh, man. I loved everything about this match.
Oh, it was good. It was good, and the ending, the finish was fantastic. You have... Orange dressed up.
Wait. No, you had a cameraman. I didn't see any Orange Cassidy out there.
Correct.
At that moment.
Said cameraman
tripped. Gave the little trip thing to
Yeah, perfect.
Perfectly done.
Trips, yes. Sammy, right?
Was it Sammy or was it Chris?
I thought he tripped Sammy.
I can't remember right off the top of my head.
But anyway, point being that then after the Best Friends get the win, Cassidy does jump Chris, and we're heading into an Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho
program. And Orange Cassidy looked tough right in that moment, too, dude. He got out there and he got busy from the jump, you know, and showed off that he really is a
force to be reckoned with.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. So you enjoyed the whole episode.
I did, and I'm excited about the Orange Cassidy Chris Jericho match. I think that has the potential to be a very sleeper.
Oh, is that what's replacing the Mike Tyson match?
I I would hope so.
At some point, I think that was how we led into this, right? Because mm-hmm. he said something about the baddest man on the planet, and Orange strolled out.
Well, yeah, and after they'd already jumped Orange when he walked through their shot before, mm-hmm. you know? And then, so he's like, you put your nose in our business twice.
Right.
And then they jumped him last week and beat him with blood oranges, which was not the high point of the episode, really, for me.
Right, right. But I just, I think that Orange is so gifted physically
mm-hmm.
that you have to expand that character a little bit.
Yes.
Because you can't put a belt on a guy that, I mean, the story you basically told with him in the ladder match was that he didn't want to give effort.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can't put a belt on a guy that doesn't want a belt.
Yeah.
You know, and so having him be angry at Chris
mm-hmm.
allows you to pivot in the road and take his character down a whole nother alley. He can still be laid back. He can still be calm. He can still do moves with his hands in his pockets. Those moves can be showboat to show you how much more coordinated
I am better I am than you. Yeah.
Right.
Or you could put the TNT championship on him sometime, like the one you have to defend every week, and have him go out there and just be so, like, accidentally winning or winning super fast over and over and over again these weird ass ways so he didn't have to do anything as little as possible.
Right.
Like catch him in roll ups and or take the count out or
there's so much you can do with him if you eventually get his hands out of his pocket.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. So we had a good time with it.
I did have a great time with it. I thought the show was probably the best scripted show they've done as far as just start to finish. Thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. They didn't, you know.
There was not a whole lot of segments.
No.
You know, you had, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 7 segments, and then six,
and they, and
then
several
6
of,
Britt Baker segments.
Yeah, and several of them advanced in multiple storylines.
12 segments.
Yeah.
7 of them. Not Britt Baker.
Well, you've got to have something to balance out Cody's stupendous 3-star performances.
Dude, Cody's the best thing on the show right now. The best thing on the show right now.
Yes, he's almost as good as the belt that he wears.
Jared has entered the room.
He is here right now.
Justin has left while we're on the topic.
Gone. Justin left us.
We had an
alone to starve.
We're kind of jumping around now because we're going to go a little bit through AEW with Jared before we go through Impact and New Japan a little bit. Now, Justin had just mentioned the belt that Cody wears. Do you agree that
the belt is ugly?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
It's fine. Super unfinished.
I don't think it's great, and I think it needs a little more decoration, but like it's fine for what it is.
Ricky Starks, you liked him
love
coming
Ricky
in.
Starks. Love, he loved him in NWA. He's a really great talent, really great pickup for the company.
You know what he
enjoyed
you know
the match
Ricky,
quite a bit.
You know what Ricky Starks should do? He should go out tomorrow and say, you know, I saw that belt. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was like finished, but like, I'm not a fan of.
Are you saying that he purposefully threw the match?
You know,
he saw
I'm
the belt?
Personally, I'm not.
No, I said it twice.
Personally, I'm not a
almost
fan.
Identically, both times.
Personally, I'm not a fan of when you morph the Universal Championship and the John Cena United States Championship, and you turn it into one unfinished belt. That's just personally not my style.
Omega Page, Dustin Rhodes, and QT Marshall. Did you like that?
Loved that match. I knew that the three of those guys were great, but I came off thinking QT looked fantastic.
Right.
Like Dustin Rhodes, always good.
You know
Page,
who else
Kenny
looked fantastic? Britt Baker.
Dominating.
I would like to have seen her less.
In that segment?
I liked her as like the entirety of the show. Just
in
like
that
providing
segment,
little.
You say that every time Britt Baker shows up.
No. I like Britt Baker probably right. more than anybody else on this podcast.
Yes.
But I just wanted to see, and this was an issue with multiple matches in the show where it's just like, I kind of just wanted to see the match. I just wanted to see these guys just go and have a great wrestling match.
I'm with
great
you.
Tag team wrestling.
I'm with you.
And it's like Britt was in this match. Later on, there's the Young Bucks Super Bad Death Squad match. There was like a bunch of people around the ring at the end where it just got really complicated and it was too much for me, and I really just wanted to sit down watch wrestling.
Right. Now, I would have been, to me, the Britt Baker segment where she's scrolling the papers up to Shivani.
Yes.
Would have made more sense in the next match with Anna Jay and...
Yes, that
Abaddon. See, because it's a women's match, and she could, you know, she could have started. She could have started it out with, "She needs Jesus,"
which I was love a that good line. Joke. That broad, you know what I mean? But, that broad needs Jesus.
Right. So that could have worked. Now then, of course, we wind up with, and we'll just do the Britt Baker part altogether.
Yes,
we wind up with Britt being absconded by yes. Big Swole and then dumped into a dumpster. And you liked all of that, or some of that?
I liked all of that. Okay. I think. While the women's division was not featured heavily match-wise...
At least Britt was featured heavily throughout the whole episode.
Yes. The division as a whole has direction going forward. Big Swole feuding with Britt Baker, even though Britt's injured. I don't think Britt's going to be out like super long, but...
And you have Anna Jay joining.
Anna Jay, Abaddon. There's something going
she's
on.
She's joining the Dark Order, so yes. Now the Dark Order isn't just a men's faction, which is kind of a new twist in wrestling.
A very inclusive cult.
An inclusive employer.
Employer. Yes.
Employer.
Employer. Do they get paid? Good question.
No.
You liked Billy and MJF?
I liked Billy and MJF, but you said something to the effect of Billy almost like jumps off the screen more than MJF, which I think is true, because Billy's like a presence.
Yes.
He's a presence and a half. That dude's got personality bleeding through every pore.
Yes.
And, I mean, MJF is that way. Not quite. Mm-hmm. He doesn't quite jump off as much. He might get there, but for the moment, not really. I don't know. I like Billy a lot, though.
MJF, that's what I thought all along. MJF is good, and he's their crown jewel in a way.
Yes.
But I don't know if I'll put him in there with Billy. I don't know in that company. I just don't know who I put in there with Billy, except for your big guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because...
Dude, Billy versus Luchasaurus would be off the chain.
Yes. It's bad enough when he's in there with guys his size and he can move faster than them and he still loses. But when he's in there with a guy that's a third of his size and can't move as fast as him...
He looks way more impressive, especially at his age.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like all the guys. I just... To me, it's just a really tough spot for anybody to wrestle Billy that's not 6'3 or 4. Then we wind up with... The finisher is Best Friends and the Sex Gods. What did you think about that?
I like this match. I love the Best Friends quite a bit. And I like Sammy and Jericho both.
Right. Now, what did you feel like? The whole point of it was to get... I thought Orange was slick when he grabs the foot. I think Orange coming in as the cameraman worked well. Are you looking forward to a Jericho Orange Cassidy?
Surprisingly... More than I thought I would.
Absolutely.
I am looking forward to it because it might be the replacement to Jericho Tyson.
I do not want to see Jericho Tyson in the slightest.
Which is great because this Orange Cassidy feud could be Kenny might have like nudged Cody and say, "Hey, Tyson guy, I don't think he can carry Jericho."
The other thing about the episode was with the MJF Billy thing was actually to set up Jungle Boy,
yes,
Luchasaurus,
and
Wardlow, yes. Luchasaurus, and the wonderful. Okay, let's move on to Impact Wrestling. Wentz and Dez are looking. So you enjoyed the episode, though.
I thought it was a really good episode.
Yeah, so did
just
Justin.
Like
you
pretty
really
much
enjoyed it.
I don't think I disliked any second.
We despised it with a burning passion.
I don't think that's true.
Don't bring
any show
that
Cody's on.
I'm bringing
immediately 10 out of 10.
Cody was there with his aluminum belt.
It's easily 10 out of 30.
When Cody
wait,
if
that's not how that
that's wait, not how that works.
That's not that's not no.
If aliens invade the planet, Cody can take the front off of the belt and make it into a hat.
To protect his brain, yes.
Yeah, like you. Hey, yeah. You remember?
Chris Statlander got injured too.
Hey, you remember? Yeah. You remember Brock from Pokemon saying, "I'm gonna turn this frying pan into a drying pan."
That's exactly
Cody Rhodes
what
can do that. With the belt.
Impact Wrestling: Wentz and Dez versus Josh Alexander and Ethan Page. We get a good little match. One dope spot where Alexander's on the shoulder. and Dez does like a moonsault and they pancake him. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Josh Alexander had one of them up on his shoulder, like just over one shoulder, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, Wentz does like a moonsault onto the guy that's on the shoulder and they both kind of like press him down.
And it was like perfectly done.
It was such a cool move.
Now the North goes over, which they always do.
I'm fine with that.
They go 100%. To an empty backstage. How can nobody be paying attention to the North? The anger is erupting in them. They chew out the poor guy there. Then we get Trey has been beaten up again backstage, and nobody knows who could have done it. And so the two stoned members, Wentz and Dez, will now go on a trip of trying to figure out who on earth has beaten up their friend 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, Ace, he's had a rough couple of weeks.
Yes,
it's absolutely been rough.
Absolutely. Ace Austin backstage with Jacobs. Ace denies any involvement, which is a theme running through the show. And he's got Eddie Edwards in a street fight later. Now, how do we say it's Nava?
Nevaeh
versus Kimberly is next. And she wins a match with Steels and Kiera Hogan, brother, are outside the ring cheering with popcorn. Nevaeh goes over, and then her and Havoc kind of get into it with them outside with
Tasha Steels and Kiera Hogan.
Yeah, on the way out. And this is going to be a feud going forward, which I'm looking forward to. Rohi versus Rhino.
Rhino goes over with a gore.
Imagine that.
Putting over young talent.
Rohi again.
This is a storyline. It's fine. I say that jokingly.
Yeah. Crazy Steve winds up with a pretty good I'm Nutty promo backstage, I thought.
I liked it.
The lighting was crazy, and he was crazy, and he's coming for all of you. He's homicidal. He's tired of being told no. Cancel culture.
He's a homicidal suicide.
No.
Just homicidal.
Correct. He's
keeping
not all those
in line.
He's not awful. He's just, well, I don't know. Homicidal's not a great thing.
Homicidal's not generally looked upon as a good trait.
I think nobody
says homicide is a virtue.
No, like, they don't.
I'm not a doctor, but if someone says,
I would not let them work at my company if they said they were homicidal, but I don't run a wrestling company. And it seems that most people who run wrestling companies are completely insane.
So, yeah, and not only that, but having somebody homicidal seems to be something that.
Like a preferred trait.
Yes, correct. Okay. So, throwback moment, Angle versus EC3. EC3 wins. And confirmed, EC3 will be at Slammiversary.
I'm excited.
Sort of confirmed.
It might as well be confirmed.
Dixie Carter is back. That is not confirmed.
That is not true.
All right.
I hope that's not true.
Susie wonders if she should be bad because she lost being good. Kylie Rae says, no, don't be bad. To which Taya Valkyrie comes in and says, this is gross. And then she gets mad and runs off looking for Bravo. The whole segment was fun.
Any segment.
Taya doesn't do bad, right? She doesn't. Hernandez versus Moose. Moose does start a You Deserve It chant for himself in an empty arena. Then he has a pretty good little match with Hernandez. Love the way he throws guys into the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah, he throws them. He launches them.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
And he sells it really well because he flings them and drops down. Like, the momentum was just too much for him to be on his feet, which is... Perfect. Moose seems very detail-oriented in a lot of his wrestling.
He does.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. And he makes sure that he sells for whoever he's wrestling.
Oh, yes, very much so. He goes out of his way to sell.
He's a giving performer, absolutely. I love him. Love him to death. He winds up going over, obviously. He retains the mythical TNA championship, which is good. And then EC3's...
You say it's mythical, but it's like right there.
Yes. So it's not mythical. It's the self...
Self-appointed
TNA championship, which at this point he's defended it, so it's real.
It's real.
EC3's music plays. Again, confirmed. EC3, Slammiversary.
Managed by Dixie Carter.
You know what this is? Subtle. Extremely subtle.
Reno Scum tells the Rascals, not us, go find somebody else, maybe TJP and Fall the Ball. So they go off in that direction. The Deaners... They love each other. And Willie Mack is there, and this segment was great.
Willie Mack does a quite good Stone Cold impression.
He does.
His voice, I guess, kind of already kind of sounds like that.
I had no idea until he started doing Stone Cold.
I was like crazy. I was like, dude, that's...
Spot on. Every bit of it. Like, when he said walk it dry, you could close your eyes, you would have thought it was Stone Cold. Better than anybody that would be mocking him trying. It's one of the best I've ever
absolutely.
Heard.
Absolutely.
I was about to say the exact same thing you said, but I said they could. I was about to say they could do a black machismo here.
Willie Mack's just like so good on his own, though. Yeah. He kind of like doesn't need it.
Well, so is Jay Lethal.
That is a valid point.
Jay Lethal found that, though. I think that was the kind of thing where, you know what though? No, what happened was that entertained Kevin Nash. Kevin said, if you did that out there, it'd be over, which was. That just opened up a door that allowed him to walk through it. And then once he got out there, the talent could show. You know what I mean? But Deanna Purrazzo has a little story that she tells about who she is and how she's gotten opportunities and wasn't necessarily ready for them. And now she's ready to shine. She's the best technical wrestler in the world. Jordynne Grace responds to what happened to her the week before. They're not supposed to be near each other, but Purrazzo sneaks up and gets another armbar on Grace. And we're setting up, it looks like, Grace versus Purrazzo in Purrazzo's probably first match at Slammiversary. Yeah. Which, first match in this company. Which is an interesting route to take, but I get it.
They're putting quite a lot of stock in her.
I hope it works.
I hope it works.
Reno Scum get the dub over Triple X. The swing man says he needs to talk to... the swing man is backstage with...
Chris Bay,
and Chris Bay has something to say to him that says, have you heard what the Deaners were saying? Because earlier, the Deaners and all of the funny stuff had challenged the swing man to...
Some form of wrestling match.
Three-on-three. They only have two.
Yes.
So they need a partner. He says, did you hear what they heard? He says, smart me up, Daddy-O. Because he... then he calls a friend and he says, are you finished with Junior? Which we are assuming is alluding to Vince Jr. He says, I need your help down here. And the guy says, Vince is paying me for 90 days.
You're getting paid to sit 90 days at home?
So they got to find another partner, but he's got a perfect guy. Don't you worry.
I thought that was a really funny little thing. I don't know, just referring to Vince as Junior is the funniest thing imaginable, and it's like super, super old school. Right. I don't know, I love that.
It is also the kind of thing that probably, as Vince ascended to being the king of his little world, at one time he was Junior.
He was, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He wasn't Vince McMahon, he was Vince McMahon Junior.
Right. And not only that, but like, Dad was still running the company, and talent probably did refer to him as Junior. And then when he was, I could see where when he's trying to take things over and he's the announcer, and they still Junior roll their eyes until he becomes the evil Vince, you know?
Yes.
Okay, Eddie Edwards versus Ace Austin. And we get I thought a very entertaining finish with Ace going over as Madman Fulton appears to the side, but I don't want to skip over a spot that I've just never seen in wrestling where they put the table wrong side up and they do a neck breaker onto the leg of the table.
Oh my god, they have like the little bar in between the legs.
Oh
Jesus, it was vicious.
Okay, but as it looks like Eddie has swung the top.
You know what that spot reminded me of in a weird way?
What
was that?
Who's that Japanese wrestler that always wrestled Mike Awesome?
Masato Tanaka.
Built like a small fridge.
Yeah. Masato Tanaka.
That sounds like a spot they would do.
I could absolutely see Mike Awesome just like doing a neck. Yeah, absolutely. Because he threw that dude through so many tables.
Yeah.
Head first. that one he did from like the apron to the outside was awful.
Right.
It was horrible.
Right. Now,
I mean, Tanaka, as far as I know, is still wrestling today, so he's like fine, but like.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are just built a rubber, I guess.
The fridge is the right term for that dude.
Now, so what winds up happening is, of course, as Eddie looks like he's going to wrap it up, we have.
Sawyer Fulton? Madman Fulton.
Madman Fulton. Arise and chokeslam Eddie several times, pick up Austin, holds him still. Austin hits the fold. 1, 2, 3. It's over, and now we know if the Rascals were paying attention, now we probably know who jumped Trey backstage. And we go to commercial, and we'll have more next week off of Impact. Now, I enjoyed Impact. I think you enjoyed Impact.
So I like this episode.
Let's talk a little bit about New Japan.
I'm so excited because the New Japan Cup is happening.
Okay, can you tell us some standout matches from this show?
Standout matches. I watched four of them. No, three.
So
I'm going
three?
To watch four.
So all three?
No, there were eight matches. Four of them were kind of...
So all three that you watched?
All three that I watched were awesome. The ones that I watched were Hanma versus Hiromu, which was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Dude, people, why do people not like Han? Why do people like not view Hanma as a good wrestler?
I like Hanma. Dude's like a corpse at this point. He had a good run like 4 years ago, but since then he hasn't done a whole lot. However, in this match, he was really good. He gave so much. He tried super hard. But at this point, he just can't. He can't do that.
But
every
I don't.
Week,
I don't remember.
I mean?
People,
he's had some time
I don't
off.
Remember hearing anybody They're say, "Oh, Hanma used to be great." No one.
Dude, his run with like Hanma Mania was great. Absolutely. But
dude, that match he had with Shibata for the Never Open
good
Weight
Lord.
Championship. That's one of my favorite matches just ever.
It's crazy. He was really good. Really good in this match though. Ishii versus El Desperado. I knew this one was going to be a banger because Ishii's in it, and I really like El Desperado. He's quickly becoming one of my favorites. They made me believe this match.
It was,
and I won't spoil the result for it because I think it's better without it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just watch that match, it's really good. But most of the matches, about half the matches, were basically like veteran talent versus Young Lion or something like that, which does absolutely have a purpose. It puts over the Young Lion as being full of fire but inexperienced, and it puts over the veteran as being still a contender.
Right.
Like Gabriel Kidd versus Taiji Ishimori. I think they see a lot in Gabriel Kidd. That guy was wrestled in WCPW for a while. He's like 22. He's yoked, and he looks great already. I think they're really going to be pushing him. But the other matches I watched were... I did not see Yuji Nagata versus Suzuki, which I can 100% imagine that they just beat the hell out of each other. That is a match that is going to be rough.
And we're
going to
go out here and watch some of the stuff and talk about it again next week.
Yes. And then the main event on night two was Okada versus Gato. An interesting match, to say the least.
I read some good stuff about that match.
I enjoy it conceptually. And you'll kind of understand what I mean. They managed to make it entertaining, and I love that. I love that quite a bit.
Because, you know, Gato's prime.
Gato's, I mean...
was a long time ago.
One of the matches I did not watch was Toru Yano versus Jado, which was Gato's tag partner for a while. And the reason I did not watch that is because I have Lego minifigures that have more articulation than Jado.
All right, so
he's had a long and storied career, but he is not particularly mobile at this point. Gato, however, still can move pretty all right, but he just kind of doesn't. He doesn't really need to. He's not at that point in his career. Right. He's a cheater at this point.
So, what three matches did you say we would recommend again?
I'd recommend four matches: Suzuki versus Nagata, Gato versus Okada, Hiromu versus Hanma, and Ishii versus El Desperado, because the three I watched were really fun. Ishii, El Desperado, probably my favorite out of the ones I watched. It was really good.
Okay, good. Good deal. And we'll be updating people on the tournament again next week.
Yes.
Now, where do they watch this at?
NJPWWorld.com. It is 999 yen a month. It's about $10.
$10 a month.
Dude, $10 for like a crazy big backlog of incredible matches. Literally, you can just start like 5 years ago and just watch some of the greatest matches you've ever seen.
And if you're a fan of the Elite,
it's great. Yeah, absolutely. If you watch AEW and you're like, dude, these Elite guys are cool, you can go back and you can watch like peak Kenny. Peak Kenny.
Right. If you're a fan of Undisputed Era,
peak Cody.
Oh, dude, Cody had Cody had some all right matches in New Japan. The match with
Jericho's there too.
Jericho's matches in New Japan were Mox. Great. Jericho versus Naito at Wrestle Kingdom 13 probably was my favorite match of the night.
Right.
But
Shinsuke.
Dude, if you like Shinsuke now, you need to go back. And if you just go look at, just go watch the Wrestle Kingdoms, and you'll see recognizable faces from across the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People in NXT, people in WWE main roster, people in AEW, people in Impact.
Right.
You'll just go and you'll just see just the biggest wealth of talent on that card. It's crazy. Right.
Well, and you're talking about just Bullet Club members.
You
got Jeff Finn, Undisputed Era, The Elite.
Jeff Jarrett.
I like how they really create new talent.
Jeff Jarrett, card-carrying member of Bullet Club.
Tonga discussed that the other day on a podcast.
Did he say, I need to listen?
Well, basically what he said was, we were looking for a partnership, and Jeff had already worked with New Japan a little bit as the TNA owner, and so to open that, he was getting his own wrestling company. Jeff started a wrestling company after TNA, after he left. He said he was trying to get that off the ground, and he needed something, so he was more than happy to come over, and we put him in with us to get him over to try to link up those two things. So that's how he wound up there, is they were trying to get up. Wow, though, right? Okay, so for New Japan Jared, Go Home Heat Kid Ray, for me, KP, this has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020. We enjoyed it. Go home.
Please.